Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our new podcast episode. This podcast is called Behind the Blue Sign, where we interview experts and providers for North Mississippi Health Services. Today, we have a neurologist, Dr. Jelani, and we are going to be talking about migraines. Dr. Jelani, thank you so much for joining us today. We are really grateful to have you in studio. Will you just take a few minutes and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about you?
Thank you for having me. My name is Wakaza Sarajalani. I'm a general neurologist. I've been practicing here in Tupelo, Mississippi for the past 4 years, and I am excited for this opportunity.
Glad you're here. Well, let's just dive right in. Migraines are something a lot of people struggle with. It's probably going to be a really interesting topic to a lot of people. Start by just telling us, what are migraines and how do they vary from just your normal headache?
Absolutely. So looking at the prevalence of migraines, it varies across populations, whether, you know, gender, races. So overall, the prevalence is around 10% of the general population, and it's a little skewed in males. It's around 5 to 6%. In women, it's a little bit more, 15 to 18%. And it also varies across ethnic groups, across even income levels as well. So it's a wide variance amongst different populations how prominent and prevalent it is. Migraines are a little different than what we call regular sort of a tension headache, where you may feel a little tightness around your forehead, around your temples, even back of the head. And then there are headaches like related to the neck pain, like cervicalgias, where you may have a muscle spasm, TMJ joints, where you'll have sort of a soreness when you're chewing, and dental issues, sinus headaches, where you feel a pressure on. Migraines can definitely be triggered by those type of headaches, but they have a characteristic of their own, where you have these added symptoms of nausea, vomiting, light sensitivity, sound sensitivity, and a throbbing, pulsatile nature to these headaches, which could be one-sided or the other. Oftentimes, migraines are described as a unilateral, one-sided headache, but they can also be on bilateral, both sides. And they're very characteristic that they may change positions as well. So, and the characteristic changes as you age. The migraine that you felt as a 15 or a 20-year-old may become into something different as you age, and you may not recognize that that's actually a migraine. So it's an interesting field, and always, interesting kind of teasing out the features of migraines that sometimes people don't realize that they've been suffering from migraines for years until much later on, where it then becomes a little difficult to control because they've been suffering from the syndrome of migraines.
And so what are the common types and stages of migraine? I know you often hear people talk about an aura or something that they kind of sense that a migraine is coming.
Right. So these are the prodromal symptoms of an oncoming migraine. Okay. So, and it's almost like a crescendo of different symptoms. And this could be, in some people, you could have a warning shot, like a visual aura, such as a flash of light go across your vision, maybe in the peripheral. And it's pretty classic, especially in women who are menstruating or who are in that hormonal cycle. They will feel a sort of a sharp, bright sort of floater go across their vision, or may see kaleidoscopic images. And within 15 to 20 minutes, then the onset of migraine with the throbbing, pounding sensation and the light sensitivity and everything else that comes with it. Some auras would be different. Some may feel tightness around their neck, tightness around their jaws, tightness around their temples. And then they will have the crescendo into a full-blown migraine. So the auras can vary, and it just sometimes depends on the triggers for these migraines, like the weather. So you can have a abrupt change in weather pattern where there's a change in barometric pressure, and that can be enough to feel that aura of a pressure-like sensation around the forehead and the temples, where then you go into a migraine. Or you may wake up with that migraine. So a lot of times patients say that they wake up with a headache, and it's already been going on for a couple of hours. So. And usually that's the classic presentation for sort of a migraine. abdominal butterfly sensations, those are rare, but that can also, sometimes you've heard of abdominal migraines. It's rare, I've heard of it, but it's another sort of a unique feature. So that's the whole idea about the aura as a spectrum, and then leads into a headache that, you know, has all the features of these nausea, vomiting, then that would be classified as a migraine.
And typically migraines come with like sensitivity to light also, right?
Correct.
Light and
yes.
sound.
So light sensitivity, sound sensitivity. Your nervous system becomes hypersensitive to all external stimuli.
Okay.
And these, so there's a collection of cells we call the sphenopalatine ganglion that is sitting right behind your orbit, so your bone. And it becomes super sensitive to any internal stimuli, and that's where the pulsatile nature, because you become sensitive to your own carotid arteries and your pulsations. And then the tinnitus, the ringing in the ears, that becomes a feature, and it's right sitting next to the auditory canal, and then the optic nerve receiving information from the eyes. So again, the light sensitivity. So I feel that's where. So we target those ganglions with certain medications, and then we can get into that
later. Yeah. So what are some common triggers for migraines?
So one of the ones that we just talked about was, you know, common barometric pressure change, weather pattern changes, rain, too much heat, exhaustion. And you know, that is a very common trigger, or excessive cold. So extremes of temperature, extremes of weather pattern, that can be enough to, trigger migraines. Hunger, that's a very commonly associated trigger. Lack of sleep. Certain food items, such as dark chocolate, vanilla, soy sauce, umami, the strawberries have been noted. So these are very common triggers. Red wine is another big one. So these are the common ones that can think of, but everybody's unique, and sometimes they may have unique triggers that others may not have.
Right.
So a lot of times I end up counseling patients that, hey, just recognize what your triggers are, and if you see a pattern, avoid it.
I bet it can be tough to identify those triggers when they're super common things like that, like strawberries. I mean, I would never have thought to tie strawberries to a migraine.
Yep, and I myself have migraines.
Yeah.
And that's actually, I was surprised that I was, that's a trigger
for my,
yep,
oh my goodness.
Yep, I never realized it growing up. And then I finally realized, I'm like, okay, that's off my shopping list.
Right. Wow. So it's interesting. And I'm glad you mentioned that you have migraines. How does that impact your practice? You know, when you see patients with migraines, how does that affect the way you treat them?
Absolutely. So it allows me to tell them, like, I know your pain, I know your feel, and when you have a migraine that is unrelenting, going on for a couple of days, the havoc it kind of causes to your activities that you may have planned with your families, travel, and so much more. So it's a major disruption to life, and it's kind of a unique disease that you cannot see it. You know, the person is experiencing it, and they may feel down, but you don't see the ailment.
Mm-hmm.
So unless, and a lot of times, I end up, you know, describing the patients, you know, hey, I know exactly what you mean.
That's right.
Your half of your face feels numb, or your, because these are those plus sort of symptoms that you can have where your hand will draw, your hand will feel weak, what we call hemiplegic migraines.
Oh, wow.
So those are more severe types of migraines that people can experience, where they will have these plus sort of symptoms, whether they're motor or sensory. Again, that whole spectrum of light sensitivity, sounds, but that can also envelop motor weakness in your arms, in your face. People feel numb on one side of their face. I've been there. I've experienced that, so I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. So that's a good lead into one of my other questions about how migraines can affect people's work and daily routines, and then like that emotional toll of living with migraines. Talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely. So it's an sort of, it's not commonly talked about,
right?
Like the burden of, and burden in terms of productivity for a working person, you know, and how that affects and family life and emotional toll, and even within family tensions that can cause, like, hey, anytime we make a plan, you have a migraine and you're down. And the stress that can cause. Again, been there, done
and
that.
And that's like a cycle, you know.
Exactly.
You're increasing your stress levels.
Exactly.
Probably increasing
and
your
more
number
stress,
of migraines.
Exactly. And that's another trigger. So so it's a very important disease to understand and address and be educated about.
Right.
And push back against. So absolutely, it can be devastating to a person's mental health as well as physical health. And so I think understanding the disease, and I keep telling patients and everybody I meet, like, understand the problem, understand the disease so you address it, so that it's not addressing you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. And so going back, we talked about some of the causes and triggers of migraines, but we didn't talk too much about stress and sleep. So can you talk a little bit about how that affects migraine frequency and what people might need to know about how stress and sleep affect migraines?
Absolutely. Everybody's threshold is different.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, general rule, everybody's, you know, 6 to 7 hours of solid sleep overnight.
Mm-hmm.
But even too much sleep can cause provoke headaches and migraines. And again, been there, done that.
Yeah.
It's different how much, you know, some individuals say, hey, 5 hours is enough for me and I'm good, I'm ready, I'm fresh and ready to go. And
I wish that was the case for me.
and some people would require more. And I think a good number is 6 to 7 hours. And
okay.
If you're less than that, it can add up.
Mm-hmm.
And where at the end of the week, when you're on the weekend, you're catching up and you're experiencing the migraines, you know, and it's a lot of common where patients may have a regular schedule. They do good over the week, and then on the weekend, they're down with a migraine.
Yeah.
So that could be just a change in their sleep schedule and that sort of thing. And stress, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And this is physical stress, mental, you know, anxiety, depression, mood disorders. And it has a lot of overlay with some of these neurological issues that we deal with, but migraines is a big thing. And physical stress can come as a form of, you know, infection or ailments, different ailments that can trigger migraines as well. And patients may call in saying that they're having a flagrant, you know, pretty bad migraine, but not realizing they've had a UTI for a few days and that's what triggered it.
Oh,
or they
wow.
may have had a pulmonary issue that may trigger it, or something else systemic, arthritis, joint issues, rheumatoid, you know. There's so much other things that could be the triggers of pain syndrome that then leads into the migraine. So so absolutely, stress, physical and mental stress.
And so it sounds like, if especially for severe migraines, that some of the symptoms can overlap some of the other neurological disorders that you see. So talk about how you diagnose migraines, especially when they're having this, like, you know, one side of their face is numb. I mean, that sounds like a stroke symptom.
Exactly.
You know, a hand drawing up, that could be a stroke or a nerve disorder. So talk about how you diagnose migraines.
Absolutely. So there is a lot of overlap there. And even seizures, like some patients may say they have an all visual aura or an aura, what do you call it, gustatory aura, or something that they smell funny.
Yeah.
And they don't know if they're having seizures or they're having a bad migraine or, and the hand. So it's the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a repetitive pattern, it happens a few times. And usually these patients end up in the ER.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting an MRI scan, they're getting a full stroke workup, and they will look back and they've had the same pattern before having a major bad headache, and it'll occur at least 2 or 3 times before it's realized that, oh, these are your complex migraines, you know, and they're more than just the regular sensitivities to light and sound and XYZ. But there is a motor feature to it or a sensory feature to it, and they'll get head imaging. They'll have, you know, their neurological workup in the ER and end up in the, on the hospital. But eventually they'll realize that, that no, this is, I'm not having a stroke, mm-hmm. and this is my pattern. This is what it does. And I just need to learn to recognize it and address it early on.
Mm-hmm. So what about treatment? How do you treat migraines?
Yeah. So, over the past, I would say 3 decades, there's been a lot of encouraging developments in the field of migraines. This was very, it was, there's been more studies, there's been more research, because again, there's such a big population that have, that carry this disease. So the treatment strategies have evolved and developed and becoming more and more targeted approach. So initially, like I was mentioning, the throbbing sensation, the so we would use blood pressure medication, metoprolol, propranolol. These are some of the first line agents we use. Their blood pressure medication, they reduce your heart rate, they allow you to kind of control some of the heartbeat variability there. But we've noticed that it also helps with the throbbing part of the migraine, and that then helps relieve some of the headache. Back issues, TMJ, dental issues, nerve pain. So again, it's that collection of neurons right behind this, the ganglion, that we like to target. So to calm that down, we use antidepressants.
Okay.
Again, there's that other factor or other angle of attack on the migraine where you're using a medication to calm down the nerves in that sense. So there are a couple of antidepressants we use. And now in the past almost six, seven years, a protein called CGRP was studied for almost a decade, and we had research about it, and its utility in targeting that particular protein to help with migraine control. So we have developed, or medications have come in market that are targeting that particular protein that have been very successful in controlling some of these migraines. And there are injectable forms, there are oral tablets, there are infusion therapies now. So that is a specifically one target, that CGRP agent, whether it's the receptor, whether it's the ligand, whether it's the protein itself, that has helped curtail a lot of these migraine attacks and helped. Then we use procedures like botulinum toxin.
I was going to ask about Botox. I heard a lot about that a few years
ago. So Botox is a brand name. There's other, there's something called Xeomin. There's Dysport. There's different brand names that are in the market. So the idea there is you're using a muscle relaxant, directly injecting it into the muscles around the forehead, the temples, the around the eyes, which have been researched in, as big triggers. And when you basically target those muscles and relax them, you are cutting the feedback loop, which is the prodrome and the onset of migraine, to knock it out so that it doesn't develop into this. A lot of times patients will feel that there is a almost a 50% on average responder rate after their first round of botulinum toxin injections.
Wow.
Yep. And we're targeting their forehead, their back of the head, the shoulder area, trapezius, and then as we keep doing it, the responder rate goes up to 80%, then 90% on average. Some do better, some do worse, but I usually indicate that there's an average responder rate of that, and that was shown in the research as well when they approved this procedure. So that's another. So we use all these tools to, you know, sometimes both botulinum toxin or Botox is not enough, and we have to go back to some of those primary medications. A lot of times we have to go back and forth with insurance companies trying to get it approved and whatnot. But we have these tools.
Right.
And usually, you know, when we talk to our nurse practitioners and physicians to help them understand what tools we have and how to use them and you know, make them readily available for patients who've been suffering from all this for a number of years. So yeah.
It sounds like treating migraines can be really complex and can maybe take a long time to find what the best treatment is for that patient, because it might vary by patient. And so tell us, you know, most of the audience for this podcast is going to be community / patients and employees, but talk also to providers and then also to patients about how do you know when someone needs to come see you? How do you know when somebody needs a neurologist? So if a patient is listening to this, they think they're having migraines, or if a provider is listening to this, when do they make a referral?
Or providers with migraines.
Right, or that. Anybody.
Yes.
What do we do?
Yeah, so I think a lot of these patients, usually they go to their primary, you know, they go to either they would go to urgent care or they would have an established primary care or family practice physician that they would see, and they'd say, hey, you know, I'm having certain so-and-so headaches. So at least with the North Mississippi Medical Center, and I know at other systems they're doing this, where they're implementing templates where it allows the physicians to document the type of headaches, because there's so many different types of headaches, you know, which one is a migraine, which one is a cluster headache, which one is a hemifacial crania, you know, there's so many different types. I think the documentation and kind of getting and teasing out the history is the most important, because sometimes patients don't realize they're having migraines. And so and kind of getting a good history there, and I think that can be done at a primary level, and having a template in front of them to help them. So that's something we've been working on and trying to push out system-wide, so that helps with that. And having documentation in terms of what has been tried, you know, whether it's over the counter, whether it's been prescribed.
That's probably also that insurance battle you're talking about.
Absolutely. And that's kind of the idea there, is to make it streamlined so that everybody understands what this patient has experienced in terms of what their features are and what their characteristics for migraines are, but then also document what medications have been tried and what could be tried, since there will be a drop down, and it will be built into the template, at least what we're proposing for this system. And that'll help kind of streamline the process of, okay, we've tried a few things, first line agent, second line agent, and they're not, you know, maybe not as effective. That's where then a neurologist can come in, and it's almost like prep work has already been done.
Right.
Now, when they're seeing the neurologist, as long as we do, you know, primary sort of workup, such as MRI scans of the brain, and make sure nothing else is, you know, could be causing this. And then we kind of hone down on, okay, let's see what your triggers are. Let me help you on the migraine side, but also address these triggers that you could be having that are provoking your migraines.
My last question is, are there any natural remedies or lifestyle changes that people might need to know about?
Absolutely. And again, personal experience.
Right.
yeah, I mean, as far as natural remedies and certain, again, what works for one person may not work for the other. And there's a lot of variability there. So common things that are used are magnesium supplements. Herbal sort of what do you call it? Butterbur, feverfew. These are natural extracts that people have used, especially in pediatric, in children who don't want to be exposed to these medications. Then there are these natural. So there are multivitamins that are targeted towards migraineurs with the B complex, with, you know, and so there, those supplements can be helpful. They may not completely, I would say anywhere from 15 to 20% responder rate, but it helps. And then avoiding triggers, as we mentioned, in the dietary. In terms of daily living, so folks, you know, who are active, you know, cardiovascular exercise and workout and yoga and kind of stretching their back, because what you're going after there are some common triggers, and that's joint pain, back issues, this and that. So you're mitigating some of that and building resistance and tolerance and raising your threshold. So make it harder for you to have a migraine when you are leading an active lifestyle. And keeping your, you know, your sleep schedule to a, sometimes, you know, folks who have night shift, what can they do, you know, and they suffer from migraines. Okay, so certainly within neurology residency, you know, you go through your overnight calls and then have a flagrant migraine the next day. So, so again, there are some things you cannot control, the weather, the external triggers. but there is some control on your own lifestyle, and that's what we, you know, usually tell, end up counseling patients, is try to control your sleep habits, try to control your dietary habits, and lead an active sort of at least 30 minutes of brisk walk, stretches in the morning, something that I've also been doing myself and have found is really helpful, trying to keep away from medications that I don't need to be taking.
Right.
So it's definitely helps.
Yeah, that's great. Anything else you want to cover before we wrap up?
I think awareness and learning about this and not being afraid of it, and for any matter, for any other condition, where you can push back against a disease such as this. It's hereditary to a certain extent, you know, families will have it. So mom will tell her daughter, you know, hey, this is what worked for me. You should try this, and it may not work out. And people do that for years on end before they seek help, you know, from. So I think recognizing it and addressing it head on and early on, because if you allow it to linger, then it becomes a monster of its own, where it's really hard to control later on in life.
Okay.
And we've seen that a few times.
Yeah.
So early recognition and addressing it early on will help in the long run.
So you would encourage people, if they think they are having migraines, to reach out to a provider earlier rather than later.
Absolutely. A lot of people would go for, you know, homemade remedies, over-the-counter medications. And yes, that's fine. Give it a try. And if you're having more than, you know, five, let's say, or four or five migraine attacks in a month, I think it's worthwhile seeing a provider. Or even that one migraine that just lingers and lingers for a few days. You know, you may have just one migraine a month, but that one migraine puts you out and just, you know,
takes
you out for a week. So again, so it's all about that burden, burden to your lifestyle, burden to your quality of life, that you should recognize and push back against reaching out to a provider.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being here today. We really appreciate you sharing your expertise with us. And so if you are a healthcare provider listening to this podcast, we will have a link in the show notes to some more resources about migraines and some of the things that Dr. Jelani talked about. So be sure to check that out. If you're a patient, we'll also have a link in the show notes to a blog post that goes into more detail about this, that you can read or print off and share with family members who might need to know more about migraines. Thank you for joining us today. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with another topic. We appreciate your time and I hope you have a great rest of your day.